Today's reading begins in Luke chapter 11, verse 27. Luke chapter 11, verse 27. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light, but when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light." Let's start off with talking about this woman that raised her voice and made this statement, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." I think that she was very happy at hearing and seeing Jesus. And even though Jesus responds to her and said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it," it's not that he's trying to negate her statement. I don't think that's true at all. I think that Mary is blessed to have been the mother of Jesus. However, he's trying to turn it around and give a spiritual application. That's what he's here to do. And so he's trying to say that it's even greater than that for those that listen to the message of the gospel, that heed the word of God, listen to what is there, and obey it. And so, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's what he's trying to get across. So I think that she made a statement that was out of joy and was out of admiration, and she was trying to praise Jesus. I don't think we should take that away from her just because Jesus then changes it over to a spiritual meaning. And what he states is truth as well. What he's telling her and everybody else there is that the gospel is even greater. People still today place a great emphasis on Mary, an emphasis that is not placed on her by the scriptures nor by Jesus, and is certainly not a position that she claimed for herself. And so we need to realize exactly what Jesus is saying is the message and the work of Jesus was much greater than the role that Mary played, no matter how honor-filled that role is. Then he begins to talk about the sign of Jonah. And so he's building this off of verse 28, assuming that they chronologically went back to back with each other. But in verse 29, the crowds are growing. There's more and more people. And he says, this generation is an evil generation. Well, he's saying that to a group of people that are coming out to see him, but it's because he knows what their motivations are. It says, it seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. While I'm not going to make a blanket statement about all the crowds that came out to see Jesus, I think that a large portion of them came in order to be entertained. They came to see something miraculous. They wanted to see something happen that they couldn't see happen anywhere else. And he was healing many people, and he was doing miraculous things. But he was doing them out of compassion, and he was doing them in order to prove that he was the Son of God. He wasn't doing it in order to be an entertainer. He was not there to just give them something to look at. So verse 30, he begins to explain the sign of Jonah. Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh. Remember, he was sent to Nineveh in order to preach to them that they needed to repent. They were Gentiles, but God did send Jonah to tell them they needed to repent. And they did so. And Nineveh was saved for a time. Remember that Jonah was expecting Nineveh to be destroyed. And so he sat down to watch that happen and was upset when it wasn't. God is a compassionate God. And when we repent, he takes that and enjoys that and likes the fact that we would heed his message and turn back to him. So Nineveh was saved for a time, though later on in history it was destroyed. Verse 31, the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Remember, Solomon asked for wisdom to govern God's people. And that's exactly what he received. And we have a lot of that written down today. The Proverbs, the Ecclesiastes are both collections of writings of Solomon that he made throughout his time as king. And he says something greater than Solomon is here. And so if the queen of the south would travel some great distances in this historical time just to hear the wisdom of Solomon, then what should people be doing at that point where Jesus is? That is, he's greater than Solomon. Shouldn't they be coming in order to hear that? He says, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Same message, Jesus is greater. Are you heeding what's being said, or are you just here for a show? Then he starts talking about lamps. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Well, remember that a lamp or a candle was pretty much the only way that they were going to have any light once the sun went down. Even moonlight wasn't going to be enough to really light up a house, and that's even assuming you'd leave the windows open in order to be able to have that light come in. They probably shuttered those windows at night. I don't know for sure, but let's just assume that they do, so that the only source of light would be a lamp or a candle. And so he says, you don't go and you light that and then put a basket over it, because the basket stops the light. And then he begins to use this illustration. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Be careful lest the light in you be darkness. And so there's that entrance into the body that can color the light, either allow it to be true light or darken it. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. Not only would you not put a lamp under a basket, but you would probably choose a place in which that light could be cast. Now today, we have electricity, we've got lights that are easily accessible, but we still put them in a central part of a room. We hang them from the ceiling, and that's so that when the light is turned on, that light can reach as much of the room as possible. It can light up the whole room. Well, a lamp would have been put in some sort of a strategic spot. Maybe there's some table to put it on that's in the center of the room, something like that, a place where the light can be spread, and you get as much benefit as possible. But he says the eye is the lamp of the body, and so everything is impacted by the eye. Everything is affected by the eye. Jesus is not talking about eyes and physical bodies. He's talking about focus. What do you fixate on? What's the input into your body? What do you allow in? And that has an impact. It relates to attitude. It relates to acceptance of the truth. It relates to how we see people and things around us. Everything is affected by our eyesight. And so he's talking metaphorically about, the own filter, I guess that you would say, that we put in place. Do we reject the Word of God, or do we accept the Word of God? Sometimes our attitudes can be such a problem that we can't see anything good out of any situation. Well, that's what we're talking about. So when your focus is bad, then your body is full of darkness. You don't allow any light in whatsoever. But then he states the opposite. If your whole body is full of light, with no dark, being wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. If we focus, if we don't filter out God's word, we completely accept it as it is. We keep taking in those good things of God. We adjust our attitudes appropriately. And then we have that light within us, and it can benefit us, and it can benefit those that are around us. And we become the lamp shining the light of Christ around us. But understand that, you know, filtering things in a negative way, you know, always having a sour attitude, always having a negative outlook, it pollutes you. It pollutes your thinking. You get to where you can't praise God, you can't thank God, you can't see His blessings. It all gets darkened because of the way that we look at everything. But if we shine with that good, bright light of Jesus and have the appropriate attitudes, then other people are drawn to it, and they are affected then by the light from God as well. So we need to think about how we filter things and how we look at things. Am I being positive? Am I being spiritual? Am I thinking in a way in which it would be a benefit to the gospel cause? And so today we need to pray that we have healthy eyes, that we have a healthy focus, that we don't allow it to be filtered in such a way that would prevent us from seeing the good word that God has given to us so that we might hear it and we might keep it. Thank you for listening, and please continue in prayer that God will be with us all.